Welcome to the Intersectionality Lab, a fair space to explore intersections.
Hello, I'm Muskan, and hosting with me today is Elmina. Also, Hilal has joined us today. In today's episode, we will talk about overconsumption. To define overconsumption, the excessive use of goods and services in the belief that the possession and use of many goods and services is the main cultural aspiration, being understood as the main way to happiness, social status, and success. It is something that we can definitely notice in our daily lives, especially as fashion and food have become two major contributors to the phenomenon. Many fast fashion brands come out with seasonal collections annually, and some even drop new clothing items on a daily basis. Big fast food chains, which we see or have consumed before, see tons of food being wasted at the end of the night.
Yeah, so I'll jump in. I'm Almina, and I will give some more insights on this. So over the past century, consumption has become ingrained in our culture as a means of pursuing success and happiness. It roots back to the Industrial Revolution, which introduced new production methods, fostering mass production and technological advancements that enhanced transportation and facilitated mass distribution. And then advertising, marketing, and flexible payment options further fueled consumerism. Nowadays, social media is also highly influential, and frequent shopping and eating out are becoming the norm. That being said, the main drivers of overconsumption are variety, convenience, and also in the case of food, palatability. Sustainable consumption is particularly challenging as it would involve reversing the personal belief systems that have been supported by this culture of consumerism and capitalism. So today we want to dive into that. And I guess the first question that I would pose is, what are your thoughts on overconsumption? And do you think consumer culture is designed to make us feel like we never have enough?
So I think overconsumption is one of the biggest problems in the world we face. And moreover, it has many serious consequences, such as like environmental issues like pollution or waste or abuse or exploitation of workers, because sometimes like unfair payments or like excessively working hours and that other. So also the other important consequence is psychological impacts, I think. And yes, especially like social media and the advertisements, as Almina said before, because on the social media, many of my friends stopped using Instagram because of this, because they told me that they didn't feel enough. And like based on social media or advertisements, we need to be more stylish, richer, thinner, or more, much healthier, more beautiful to be happy. But actually, this is not true. And they always imposed this idea, and they still do, unfortunately. And people compare themselves with the others, so they don't feel good enough. But the trends change so quickly. That's the problem. And that's one of the reasons for overconsumption. And every year, a new model phone, or moreover, every season by season, a new collection. So people, like we were, at the same time, we were imposed by the idea of self-worth. Because if you click on a random influencer account, you can see that, oh, this is pretty new, this is pretty fresh, this is so popular, and we are worth it. So let's buy it. Or sometimes if you feel insecure, you can buy the things that are so popular or that are so, I don't know the word, but I'm going to say just they are so popular. So you can gain a role in the society, which means like social status. and then everyone will be impressed. Actually, this is not true, but unfortunately these days a bit true. So I think yes, because of this, more and more people feel insecure and they don't feel that they are enough. That's my opinion.
I think for me, yeah, overconsumption has definitely, I think it's become more and more obvious. I feel like maybe post-COVID, because I think pre-COVID, like purchasing habits of people, like normal people, were like pretty average, like, you know, grocery shopping and then like normal, like amounts of clothes were being bought. But then I think because of COVID, when like you weren't really going out, you know, so you had much more money, I feel like, left over, your disposable income kind of increased solely because you were not going out. So people were like, oh, what to do? And I think novelty is something which is so like human, like we always want something new, you know, whether it's an experience or like a product or like taste or food. So I think like it became, and it started from there. But I'm what I'm really surprised by is like how fast it kind of caught on. Like, I hate to say this, but like it was 2020 and like the COVID first wave was like 5 years ago. And I feel like sometimes I feel like some trends or like habits of humans take a longer time to come like to like mainstream society. But I feel like overconsumption was like much more like fast, you know, to become popular as a spending habit. I think people also then tend to spend beyond their means, like they don't afford it, but because they know, as Hilal said, like people might be impressed by them or they have to like maybe keep up with their peers, they tend to, you know, overconsume and overspend and then, you know, just make not the best like financial decisions and also like maybe body decisions. So yeah, I think maybe it's like the thing of like humans can never have enough, you know, we're never satiated. We always want something new, something more. And overconsumption is a way of like fulfilling that. Because I feel like if overconsumption didn't exist, something else would happen, you know. So this is just one of the holes that is being filled in this way. What about you, Almina?
Yeah, I think those are all good points. I mean, I think COVID definitely fueled it further, since like this past century, it was like little by little, it's becoming a bigger problem. And as you said, we can see it, the psychological impact, the societal impact. It's like, I think this can look at it through so many different lenses, but like keeping it general, as you mentioned, it's becoming healthy. And also it's that people are enough. And I think that this idea of, we constantly need more. I want this to be happy. This will also make me happy. I want to buy more and more things that we actually don't need. And the same goes also like for food consumption, right? I believe that we have to challenge this notion of, is this actually going to make me happier? And also the financial literacy part that you mentioned. So there was a podcast on financial literacy that our team did. And I think that it can also be tied to overconsumption a lot, because people actually don't realize how much they're spending and that it's not necessary. And I think personally, I'm appreciating minimalism a lot more recently, like that I don't need to buy so many things. I don't need like 10 different kinds of phone cases or, I don't know, pens and little things like that. So I'm trying to appreciate minimalism a lot more. And that also reminds me of like, what are some like everyday habits that you have that you are doing or that you notice in others to try to avoid overconsumption?
In my life, personally, since I moved to Portugal, I started recycling, because unfortunately in my country, it's not common. Okay, we have many recycling bins in the street, but at home, no one does this. So since moved to Portugal, I started recycling, and like since I was born actually, or like I'm aware of myself, I'm addicted to food. I love it, but I hate wasting food. So if I order something in a restaurant or at a cafe, and if I don't finish the rest of all of my food or of my meal, I always ask for the takeaway boxes because I hate it. I hate wasting food or wasting anything. And in my life, I also try to buy a good quality things like clothes or phone or shoes, whatever you want to say it. Because I know if I don't buy a good quality things, I have to buy more and more. Actually, these days also like phones or the other things don't have a good quality, but I try to find it. And also I support to use the secondhand products. And we have many apps, like even in Turkey. So I used to use these kind of apps always. And I know some apps to prevent to waste of food. I don't want to say the brand or the name of the apps here, but probably many of you know it. So I try to use these kind of apps. And I don't know, they are like small steps, but I think we need to start from somewhere. So small steps can make a difference.
For me, I think, like Hilal, yeah, I also like hate wasting food, take food away. I mean, usually I eat it all. I'm so hungry. I eat it all up. But yeah, speaking of like fast food, there's also like, this is like a little away from the topic. We can come back to this later. But there's these channels on YouTube, which are called mukbangs. And they showcase a lot of food eating, but in excessive amounts. And also in like excessive, I would say like the way they eat is also like really greedy, but also like it feels kind of like excessive in the sense of like I feel dirty sometimes after watching it, because it feels like they're like eating it in a really dirty manner. Like it's really messy, I think, you know, it's really weird, but I'll come back to that later. But with my own habits, I like with the fashion, I usually try to buy clothes only when I need to, or I try to shop secondhand with thrifting. But what I hate is because fast fashion releases so much stuff every day, a lot of the people who buy fast fashion on an average or like a simpler basis of like, okay, maybe they need a top, so they bought it, then they used it, then they gave it away. But because they end up, because of the quality, they end up giving it away to the secondhand store. But because like the secondhand store, I want to buy something which has a good quality, you know, like Hilal said, like something so that I don't have to rebuy it again and again. So then it's there in the secondhand store and it just stays there. And it still adds up to the landfill eventually, like, because if nobody buys it at the secondhand store too, then it just goes to waste. And that's sort of like the issue with the fast fashion thing, is because I feel like because it has become so big of a brand company or like a movement as a whole, I don't know how as an individual person, although I can curb my own shopping habits, I don't know how we could take down something that is so much more bigger than us, you know? It's kind of sad because as humans, we are the ones who created it, you know, and we are the ones who perpetuate it. We are the ones who continue this cycle. But then when it's time to pull the plug because of a lot of greed from a really small amount of people, the top 1% or the people who are investing in the company and then getting the stocks, we're unable to pull it back and like stop the vicious cycle, which is affecting the environment and us and resources. It's kind of disheartening sometimes. Also, that was another tangent, sorry. And then for food, I also use apps like Hilal might have been talking about. And that's a really fun way, a specific app, a green colored app is really specific, and it's really fun way to like also try out food which you may not try on a regular basis, because then they give you like a variety and then you can try out new things, which is how I picked up on a few bakeries around Lisbon, which is really, really fun and a really cool way of trying to like lessen their food waste, the all the food that they're going to throw out at night. I know some of them also donate to local food shelters in Lisbon, which is also really good. But then at the same time, I have, this is usually like local bakeries and shops that do that. But I have heard that some corporate companies of like fast food brands are not allowed to donate the leftover food at night. Like they have to throw it away. Like their corporate management like brings down like notices, and they're like, okay, we saw you give the food away to like homeless people or something at the end of the night, and it's not allowed. You have to throw it in the trash, which is inhumane, honestly. But I don't know, like I don't know how to change that or what to do with that. But yeah, what about you, Amina?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, like that all of this is so much bigger than us, and it's hard to like actually change this nowadays. But I agree with all these tiny habits, like also being mindful of food waste and buying new things and recycling as well. I was also thinking of, you know, how nowadays, I don't know, a phone you buy, for me at least, and for people around me, it doesn't even last more than 2 or 3 years. You have to buy a new one because now they make it so that it can't last long. So I get so annoyed because you have to buy these new things constantly and constantly. Whereas before, like, I don't know, some electronics, they could last you for a very, very long time, and you don't have to think about changing them repeatedly. So that is something that annoys me about this culture nowadays.
May I add something?
Yeah.
Because when Muskan mentioned some cafes or restaurants and the waste of food, I just thought of the cafe where I work right now. Because, you know, girls, like, I work at a coffee shop, and then I noticed that people who works in the kitchen throw the pieces of bread, like the thin pieces of bread or the corners of the bread, away, just like they threw them away. And I was shocked because, I don't know, it pisses me off, maybe because of my culture or maybe because of my religion, but like you need to eat them or you need to feed some animals like birds. So I was like, oh, okay, so just keep them, please, for me. So while working, I can eat all of it. And really, I did. While working, if I have time, I'm just going to, I just go to the kitchen to eat something, and then they keep, thank God. They didn't do it again. Or like after work, I'll take all of them just to feed the birds. I don't know, it feels so weird for me. This is so normal for them, I know, because it's a habit, just like cut the bread and throw them away, like the pieces you cannot use. But I don't know, it's not normal for me. And I feel so bad when I see these kind of things. I don't know, how do you feel? Or
no, same. I was watching this. I have heard that some people, you know, when you buy like a pack of like the pre-cut bread, like the toast, a lot of people I talked to once told me that they don't eat the first and the last slice because it's the ugly slice. They throw it away, which is insane. It's not even the crust. It's an entire piece of toast. Like you could put it like, I don't know. There's so many uses of it. You don't have to look at the ugly part of it. And what do you mean it's ugly? Like it's not the bread's fault. That's how the bread is made. I feel.
Or like if, I'm so sorry for interrupting. Or like if you buy a whole bread, people just cut the corners because it's so hard to chew, or just like they don't like it. But so give them to the birds. It's so easy. And it reminds me of my childhood, because I was the youngest at home. And I always used to go to the supermarkets or to buy breads, and on my way back home, I always used to eat the corner of bread. That's why I also wanted to eat breads in the kitchen while working. I don't know, this is so weird for me. It's just the food.
Yeah.
Not ugly or...
Yeah, I mean, even if you find something ugly, like aesthetically, that doesn't mean you don't have to eat it. I mean, I get that the taste, the texture perhaps is a bit different, but like, what's the alternative? To throw that away? Or as you say, you can make some kind of use of it a certain way. You can give it to somebody else. I think that these little mindful habits are something that we need, because it's really sad when I read like the statistics of how much food is wasted annually. Like it's mind blowing. And then that, you know, it always goes back to some people don't even have that amount of food to consume and so on. But also, like, you know, the portions are getting a lot bigger, and society is somehow making us just consume more and more food as well, to the point where we don't even listen to our bodies and of like how much can we actually eat. You know, do we need all those chips and chocolates and I don't know. What are your thoughts about this?
I actually, I was thinking, I think about this, like, whenever I go grocery shopping, because I hate the fact that the big, like, bottle of cola is, like, cheaper than, like, the mini cans, because I get it. In terms of like a recycling point of view, the cans are more expensive to recycle because they're individually made items and containers. So yeah, I get it. But then having that huge plastic bottle, you tend to waste the soda sometimes, because sometimes it goes flat and the carbonation dies out. So then unless you're one of those weird people, sorry for anybody who's listening, but if you're one of those weird people who like flat sodas, like, I'm not going to drink that. I'm going to have to throw that away. And that is a waste of like my money and the food and the drink. And then I also hate the plastic bottle because it's just inconvenient. Like my fridge, I don't have enough space to put it like vertically. I have to like lay it down horizontally and it takes up so much space. And I love drinking out from a can, but then they make the can more expensive because of, like, I get it, certain reasons. But it just, like, I feel like sometimes, you know, it's against us as well at the same time. Like, they make the portions bigger and then they make the bottles bigger as well. It's just, like, we're being boxed in, you know? But I was also thinking of, like, I have this guilty pleasure of watching YouTube channels of both the overconsumption variety. So I'm kind of like in a really bad way participating in it, because there are these women, usually women, who tend to buy like huge amounts of stuff and clothing and accessories from these fast fashion brands. And then they're like, oh, this is a haul. I'm going to try out all of these clothes that I bought. And then if I don't like something, I'm going to return it. And if I like it, I'm going to keep it. So maybe in the end, they do like return the items back to the company so somebody else can buy them. But the amount of clothes that they buy, it's like, so it's like, you're not going to wear this in one season. In 1 year, you're not going to be able to wear this because of weather changes, your feelings, the fashion trends will change. And then what's the point? But then it's also at the same time, it's so fun to watch somebody else try on the clothes, because like, I don't want to buy so many clothes, right? Personally, I don't have the funds for it. Sorry, I'm broke. So
you're living vicariously through them.
Yeah, I am living vicariously. Also, like if I want to buy something, like which is the product that they're trying on, then it's kind of like a trial run, you know, because especially for like online brands that don't have a actual physical store, you have to order and it's like a gamble if the top or the bottom is going to be a good quality and your size. So if you find like a YouTuber or like an Instagram influencer who's your size, has the same like style as you, and then she tries on something that you want to buy, it's like your try on, you know. And you get to see firsthand like how she likes it. And if you trust her, then if she likes it, then you like it too. And then you end up buying it. It's like a way of advertising. But at the same time, it also discourages me from buying stuff if I don't like it. And she's like, okay, you know, this is what it looks like on me. And I'm like, no, I don't want that on my body. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, that's good. Because I heard, like, sometimes, for example, people buy things like that that you can only buy online or maybe in person, but they buy it online and they don't feel like returning it even though it doesn't fit them or they don't like it. It's just like, oh, it's just such a like long process to return it. And sometimes like these stores, they will refund you without you needing to give it back. But then like, do you give those clothes away? Like what will you do with them? Will they just sit in your closet? It's wild to think about.
But the solution is so easy. Just don't be lazy and like ship the clothes back. Like human laziness is insane. Like how are we so lazy? And I think we're getting lazier, right? There has to be some study that makes us lazier with all the food that we're consuming, and it's unhealthy, but at the same time there's so much convenience that we're forgetting how to do things like organically. It's not making any sense. And I feel like this is the worst turn we could take for like technology in general, which is like not the point of this podcast for today, but like I think in general life, like that's how I feel. Also, do you want to say something, Almina?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Also, I was watching this documentary on like food in general, just like a Michelin star restaurant. And I love food and I would love to go to like fine dining Michelin star restaurants, right? But then I saw that they were cooking like potatoes. And they would like, so there's a type of potato called fondant potatoes where you take like a potato and then to make, you have to, the potato has to be the perfect circle. So what they do is like they take the potato and then they use like a potato cutter or like a cookie cutter to get like the perfect circular shape. But then I realized that by the end of it, when the fondant potatoes are done, so much of the potato is wasted because it's all scraps. Like how Hilal said, you know, they end up throwing it away. But because it's like raw potato, like how are they going to reuse it, you know? It's not that feasible. And that goes into it again as like an aesthetical purpose, for an aesthetic purpose, like so that the potatoes are completely circular and they like plate. When you plate the potatoes, they're perfect and, you know, they get a good review. The critics love them, blah, blah, blah. And then so much of the food is wasted. So then in my head, I was like, damn, and now I feel guilty for wanting to go there, you know, ever, even though I haven't been. It's like a hypothetical situation and I'm just suffering even in that situation.
Yeah, that's so true. And that brings up the thing that you mentioned about like mukbangs and how people are just consuming excessively and even throwing things out that we were talking about. Like, what are your thoughts about such things? Also, similar things are like the hauls that Muskan mentioned, where people buy excessive amounts of clothing that in a few months won't even be trendy. So what are your thoughts on these things?
I think for me, like when I first started watching the idea of a mukbang, it was comparatively simple. It was just like somebody is trying to eat like something new, you know, maybe something I have never eaten in my entire life. So they would like take a bite and then they would describe the feeling and the taste and everything. So it's like a food review. And I was like, okay, this is kind of good. You know, this is fun to watch. Like there are some food items that are not accessible in my part of the world, or like, I don't know how to make, or I don't have the ingredients. So it's a good way to get to know food culture. But I think as time went on, people saw that, you know, excessiveness and like just quantity in general, I think is so, it draws attention. Especially like if you see on YouTube, like videos, the bigger the number is like in the video title or in the picture, the more clicks it might get, like Mr. Beast. Oh my God. Whatever genre that he began, I hate it. Like, why would you? Anyway, that's not the point. But like, you know, there are video titles that say, oh, I tried on 100, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it has a million views because they know that like people want to see the variety and like the sheer vast quantity. Because a lot of the times, and I'm not calling people poor, because then I would also be calling myself poor. But then it's like a fascination, you know? We're like, oh, I wonder how it's going to be, how it's going to change, and what are they going to do? It's just pure, simple fascination. But then it encourages, in a way, you know, people. Because I feel like if you're really close or connected to that YouTuber that you're watching who's doing this sort of a video, then you're like, oh, I want to emulate them. You know, I want to be like them because you like them so much. A parasocial relationship, which I might have a podcast about in the future. Stay tuned.
Teasing our future podcast.
Hell yeah. But because of that influence that such celebrities or like influencers, as their name suggests, have, it like perpetuates and worsens the cycle. I feel like I'm also like saying things in a circular motion, but like it is what I've noticed in my life, and I am chronically like always on YouTube. So this is for me, like I'm like self-reporting myself because I'm like admitting to all of this. Like I see this happen, you know, like children do stupid stuff by watching YouTube all the time, and I don't think this is the sort of thing that we want to teach them. If they watch these mukbangs, you know, where they have now, like, as I was talking about earlier, it was simpler, but now it's becoming like there's like the entire table is full of food. And then a lot of mukbang channels, they pride on themselves by saying that they never edit and they never cut the video, which means that they're consuming like 4,000 or 5,000 calories in one sitting, which is unhealthy for the human body. Yeah, sure, they're going to exercise as soon as the video ends, but like, for the people who may not have access to the gym and they do this challenge, this is just setting them up for like obesity in the future, in the next few months. And then there are channels who do cuts and then they spit out the food because it's so much food, you know. Then it's like food waste that can't even be reused by other people. It's not like brands that can like sell their leftover food by the end of the day, because you eat it, you chew it, you don't swallow it, you just spit it out. Like, that's disgusting, you know. That's, I think, like excessive, like not even wealth. It's just excess, you know. It makes me mad, as you can maybe guess from my voice. But please, somebody else talk, because I have been taking up this entire space.
So I couldn't agree more. Like, I totally agree what you said. But to be honest, I don't have so much idea about mukbang or mukbang videos, because I'm not a big fan of these kind of videos. I'm so sorry. I love food. I'm addicted to food, but I don't like these kind of videos because I tried to watch it, I think, once or twice. But then I noticed that the chewing sounds, songs irritates me. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to stop it. But I know some YouTubers, like you mentioned, those are Mr. Beast, or I saw the YouTuber, I cannot remember his name and his girlfriend's name, but they used to record these kind of videos first, and then they were so popular, and then they started struggling with obesity for a long time. Yeah, after the obesity period, they went to gym, and then the guy transformed his body, and then he was recording some videos like, oh, how I did this and how I did that. But I totally agree with you. So it is so weird for me. I cannot watch it, so I don't have so much opinion about these kind of videos. I'm so sorry. That's why I was in the silence.
Your opinion about the person who like did like a fitness journey sort of reminded me of another YouTuber whose name is like Nico Cado Avocado, and he ate a lot. Like, he used to be this really proficient like violinist, and they started a mukbang channel, blew up, like literally and figuratively on YouTube, but also like their body changed. Like, they went through this entire arc where they just gained a lot of weight. And now, after like several years of starting their after several years of their channel being on YouTube, they came out by saying that they fasted and they dieted and they did a lot of stuff. And now they're going to get surgery to like come back to like an original average human weight, which is, in a way, inspirational, but at the same time, it's like, this is what happens if you overconsume, you know? It's like the perils are being shown to you and they're like in your face. But the question is, like, are people learning from this case or like Hilal's case, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's so scary nowadays, like when we see all these unhealthy food addictions and shopping addictions, because it's coming much more common. And I feel like it's like so normal, like, oh, I'm going through something, I'm gonna, you know, do some like shopping therapy and do some impulse buying to make myself feel better. Or the same is with food. Because of all this variety and convenience, it's so easy. It gives us, you know, this instant gratification that a lot of people are linking, you know, to individual psychology and how it makes you feel better for a very short amount of time. So if we're looking at the long term, I don't think it gives this sense that people are actually chasing when we like try to figure out the mechanisms behind all this. I think it's very short term, and that it is scary because, as we said, it's getting worse and worse little by little, you know? So like we had more and more options, and like right now when we see how the quality is decreasing and things, and how we need to buy more. And also, as you said, you go in the grocery store and you have like so many, you'll have like aisles and aisles of different food options. I'm just thinking like how worse is it gonna get before there's actually like some kind of big change or something, or will there be a change in the culture and the way we feel about this? Because yeah, pretty scary. That's the word that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I don't know either. The problem is because of, I hate this. I feel like this comes down to the crux of like a capitalistic society where the profit gains of like the shareholders and the stakeholders is so much more important than like the overall health and welfare of the consumers, that unless it's beneficial to them, the profit holders and the 1% who are controlling the company, they're going to stick to the same practice. The day like trendiness becomes healthiness becomes a huge trend topic, or they lack the resources to continue doing these practices, that's when they'll stop. But like even now, like there are like supermarkets like Erewhon, which is in USA, which is, I don't know if I can name drop that, so maybe I should stop. But there is a huge a very popular supermarket in LA in California, USA, which is making healthiness a trend, but it's making it expensive. And if you want to eat healthy, it's like, how much money are you willing to spend, you know, for like organic fruits and vegetables, non-GMOs, you know? That's also a business business model for them. That's what they made it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's so expensive. It's so expensive to eat healthy nowadays. That's also a big thing that like we all need to consider. That it's becoming easier to get like junk food than actual real food. But yeah, that's also a really good point. Like it's really hard to notice these patterns and change them, especially when, like Hilal also mentioned, all these trends that are happening, and you know, where like, I don't know, people in middle school are also excluding their peers if they don't have this item that they also have because it's so trendy. And it's something that happens so fast, like something is trendy and then so many people are buying it and the prices are just skyrocketing. And then after a few months or years, it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah. Okay, then heading on to today's Connect and Reflect, we wanted to ask everyone about the recommendations on media related to overconsumption. Have you seen any books, movies or TV series where overconsumption is shown as an example, as a habit from a character, or like the main movie storyline of any media?
I have one. When you mentioned, or when you asked this question, I thought of WALL-E. I have no idea
the
if
Disney
you
movie.
Watch it or not. The not Disney.
Oh,
I think
the
Pixar.
I watched it a long time ago.
Yeah. Maybe some people like who are listening to us right now don't know what it is about. So I just want to mention what the movie is about. So WALL-E is an animated movie, and WALL-E is a kind of robot. Actually, it is a lonely waste collecting robot that cleans up mountains of trash in the earth that has been abandoned by humans and because of the pollution and the overconsumption. I think we can say overconsumption because pollution is a direct effect of overconsumption. And if you watch the movie, maybe you can get better what I am talking about. And one day it meets another robot, which is called Eve. I think the pronunciation is Eve, that is sent by humans living in the space to find any signs of plant life or any life in the earth. So they met, and the movie is about their adventure in the earth. What I can say, I think it's such a good example for overconsumption, and it's a perfect example to see what might happen soon. Maybe not so close, or actually is happening, because day by day, you know, like as Almina mentioned, or you mentioned before, like the world is getting worse and worse, especially the pollution. And we always talked about food waste or fast fashion, but at the same time, overconsumption is also overuse of energy and sources, like not caring about these kind of issues around us. So I think WALL-E is pretty good movie, and I definitely recommend everyone who is listening to us right now to watch it, and they can watch that movie with their family or with children,
whoever
they want. I love
that recommendation. I watched it a long time ago, and now that you talked about it, I think that we can relate it to overconsumption a lot. So I think that's a great recommendation. So when it comes to my, it was hard choosing only a few, because I feel like I remembered so many different ones, especially like Netflix has a lot of documentaries that tackles like different sides. Like, there are some about like minimalism or fast fashion and so on. But one of the documentaries I wanted to talk about is Broken. So it's like more of a docu-series, so it has 4 episodes that dive into like different aspects of consumption and consumerism. And generally speaking, like all of these episodes show how industries can be manipulative and deceitful to their consumers, and the actual consequences of mass production and also marketing and how it all works. So they dive into very specific examples, and I think that it's a great way to get a deeper knowledge into these aspects of overconsumption. And the second movie that I want to talk about is one that has a more like philosophical approach and is one of my favorite movies, actually. It's Fight Club, and it talks a lot about materialism and consumer culture and the meaning of life beyond material things. So it dives in deep into that, and like some quotes that I jotted down while I was preparing for this is like, you know, the things you own end up owning you. And also, advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so that we can buy shit we don't need. So yeah, that's like me doing a marketing for this movie. But yeah, I think that it's a really great movie for this topic, but even beyond it, it's just a reminder to chase meaning and definitely leave behind all these material things that consumer culture is telling us we need. But do we actually?
Damn, that was philosophical. But that was a good one. I forgot about Fight Club. Like, that didn't come to my head. But yeah, it's a great movie for so many reasons. So, good one.
Yeah.
For my 2 recommendations, one's a movie. I'm gonna talk about the movie because I haven't read the book, but the movie is called Confessions of a Shopaholic. So it's a cute movie. It's a fun movie. It's a rom-com.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
But it talks about like overconsumption of fashion in a very lighthearted way. And it also shows how the main character's habits of spending fashion can also become good when she uses her experiences in an economical way and she just changes the context. So she becomes a really good economist and she starts her own column for like household and fashion stuff items. So it's like a two-sided thing, but it's definitely more lighthearted. You see her literally running away from her debt collector, which is like a consequence that some people might also be facing in real life. So this is like a warning, you know. I think when I watched it as a kid, for sure I got so scared of credit card debt. I was like, damn, I don't know what she did, but I don't want that man near me. So I think that's how I'm not a shopaholic because of that movie. So that saved me. So that's my recommendation. And the second recommendation I have, it's not a recommendation, it's just a character that I thought of. It was Rachel Green from Friends, because mm-hmm. earlier in the first few seasons of the series of Friends, Rachel is like this more spoiled sort of a woman who's coming to terms of living on her own and like earning her own money, because earlier before the show began, like in the story, she was like living with her parents and her parents were paying for everything. So her father was paying for the cards and everything. And over the course of the show, you see her mature and become like this independent woman who still has like these fits of like buying too many clothes and going to like, I think she goes into like some New York fashion shops, you know, fashion departmental stores where she works as well. And she goes to shopping, but then you see her eventually like evolve and become better and become more mindful with her shopping habits as well. And I think that is a good lesson to learn, maybe when you're young, again, as the Confessions of a Shopaholic, of like, there is, I think buying things to make yourself happy is good. It's not bad, unfortunately, but you always have to keep in track how much can you spend and are you actually going to use it? And I also want to say this just before we do the closing, is that when people give you gifts, I think it is important for you to use those gifts, even though it's good to keep and hold on to them for like the memory aspect. I think it's better to use the gifts so thoroughly, because then the gift will know that it was loved, you know? So I have this habit of like, if people give me things, I keep them and I never use them and it goes to waste. And in that sense, it's also like a waste, right? So I have come to terms with it. And right now, like, I use the mug that Hilal gave me for my birthday, and I use a candle that my family gave to me, you know, even though I think, and so now I think of them every time I use the candle. I think of Hilal every time I use the mug. So I think that's a good way of making sure that all your shopping habits are well earned, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really great, the gift aspect you mentioned, because sometimes we treasure it so much that we actually don't even use it, and it was bought for us to use, right? So I think that's a great reminder. Do you guys have any other final thoughts before we close?
No, I just want to thank
you. Of course,
you,
it was so
for
fun
having me here.
Yeah, thank you for joining. It was a really productive conversation. So today we covered like overconsumption habits, manifestations that we see in everyday life, and our own habits. And we also tackled upon the influence of overconsumption on various aspects of society. So I think that we demonstrated how problematic it is nowadays, and hopefully we gave some food for thought for our listeners. So we hope that the listeners enjoyed the episode. And once again, thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Intersectionality Lab. If some terms or topics made you curious, check out our website. Maybe some of the resources will keep your thoughts rolling. Meet us where the lines cross. We are a nonprofit research center working on human rights, gender equality, and active citizenship. And this podcast was created with the support of our team.